Hey everybody, welcome back to Small Talk Japan. On the show, we talk about all things Japan in English. I'm here today with
Ricky
and
Alex. Hello.
Alex, what's up?
Yeah,
what's up? Long time no see.
Good. Yeah, I'm great.
Are
Amazing.
You alive?
He's back.
Yeah, I'm brilliant. Yeah,
I'm brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
All right, let's roll the intro first. So, Alex, where have you been?
Well, where haven't I been, Mitch?
Well, I don't know. Where haven't you been?
I haven't been. I haven't been anywhere. No, I've been to Fukuoka.
Yeah.
And that's about it, actually. Tokyo a couple of times.
Yeah.
Been quite quiet. It's my off season now.
What off season is like April to May?
So off season for me is from February, beginning of April until about June.
Is that because this is when all the government bids and everything are being submitted and decided on?
Yeah, because all the tourism stuff has been developed and people are actually coming.
And then when they finish coming. So your job is done is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then it starts up again.
Congratulations.
But actually, we have visitors as well. So I also do that, but only B2B, only for travel companies.
For those people who haven't seen you on the show in like 5 years, can you tell us, what do you do?
I do a lot of different things.
So you're an English teacher, right?
Yeah, of course. That's, people ask me that all the time, and I always just say, yep, that's right.
The two guys together. Where in America are you from?
No, I say I'm from Russia, but I'm just very good at English.
I'm a Russian spy.
Yeah, I'm here to spy on you. I accept all the information.
All right, seriously, what do you do?
So I run a consultancy that develops kind of tourism in regional areas of Japan, mainly cultural tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And actually mainly, I mean, the Japanese call it fuyuto. It means kind of like wealthy travelers, but it tends to be higher price point, a bit more expensive stuff. You can't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
We provide that. So it's all bespoke. There are no kind of preset plans. We'll organize things that other people couldn't possibly do with another company. And we do that only for other travel businesses abroad. So we don't do B2C. It's all business to business.
B2B.
Yeah. And we go right from the developing part of it all the way through to selling it at the end.
Now, just a little history on you. How did you get involved? You obviously didn't just like show up and be like, all right, I'm going to be a consultant.
No, I did do that, yeah. No, I didn't. What did I do? I worked for almost 10 years at Sengai, which is like a big tourist destination here in Kagoshima, yeah. World Heritage Site. Won some awards for developing that for inbound tourism.
Yeah, and you received these awards a little tipsy. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, more than a bit, yeah. Fucking hell, like a bottle of champagne.
Couple of those.
I didn't think we were going to win it, so I just sat there to get drunk. I was like, we're not going to get anything anyway.
You're like
so.
In a tuxedo, drunk, and where? Yeah. Were you in London?
In London, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the woman next to me from like Georgia or something, God knows where, like one of these, central ex-Russian country.
Ex-USSR.
Tapped me on the shoulder and he goes, I think you've won. So I was like, what? And then the local TV station phoned me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think they were going to call me to the next day.
Right.
So I was even more shit-faced.
Local as in Kagoshima local.
Yeah, Kagoshima. Yeah. So I had to give a comment for TV.
You're like,
it's great.
Psycho.
Yeah. So I did that and then I got lots of offers to do panel discussions and kind of things like that around Japan about tourism development, about what Western travelers to Japan want. And that kind of branched into consulting work.
Yeah.
And now I consult for, the Japanese government, the cabinet office, tourism agency, cultural affairs agency a little bit, the Ministry of the Environment. I'm on many different boards and panels discussing how tourism should be developed. And I'm also kind of known as the kind of tourism guy in Kagoshima.
Yeah.
So everybody remembers the fact that I'm in Kagoshima and I haven't moved to Tokyo. So everybody says this to me all the time.
If you do end up moving, do you think that you'll move to Tokyo?
No, probably not.
Kyoto?
No, maybe not, actually. I thought about it, but then I decided, I think I'd rather stay in Kyushu. So if I did move in Kyushu, I'd go to Fukuoka.
Stop, dude, come on. I already claim Fukuoka. That's my next destination.
Yeah. Well, I'll
take... You can't come.
But I can take Fukuoka. easy. So, but yeah, it's good to have like a place that you're known for. It's good to have like skin in the game as well.
Yeah.
So you're known for putting your life in the region.
Yeah.
Instead of just being a consultant who dips around and kind of doesn't prove it.
I mean, we did do like a complete tour, a crazy tour of Kyushu last year in November.
So 3 days we did the whole...
No. It was five days. 5 days we started Miyazaki and we went clockwise around Kyushu.
Yeah.
And like... since you were typing on your phone the whole fucking time and working, I was driving the entire fucking time.
That was a good job driving. Well done. I'm surprised he drives a bit like an old woman.
I do not. There's tons of equipment and you and another person in the car. I'm not going to speed and drive like an asshole.
Well, overly cautious. But we were kind of holding the drone out the window, stopping the car and just like chucking it up in the air and nice. Filming.
Deployments.
But yeah, I mean, we wrote the whole script for that thing as well in like a day.
ChatGPT wrote half of it. You corrected it. And
if you're not going to use the best tools available.
Use the tools, right.
The most convenient tools.
I mean, it was a really good 2.5 hour presentation on Kyushu. I think you gave it twice.
We did it for about 100 and at the end, it was about 140 different travel agencies. Yeah. And every single one of them rated it, you know, above 8 out of 10. Mostly
did it right here in the
10.
Studio.
So it was incredibly well received.
Yeah, it was fun.
I got an email yesterday actually saying, can we share it with all our employees? Big company in the US.
Oh, really?
They want to share it with everybody. So I said, I'll think about it.
One more of your accolades. It was originally an Amazon Prime debut. You are in a video, a documentary that recently got moved over, ported to YouTube. Can you talk about it? We'll link it in the video description, but can you talk about it?
So there's a project we did a couple of years ago called Samurai of Culture. And basically it's kind of digging out the existing samurai culture that is in Kagoshima today. That's been kind of going on for hundreds of years, but it's kind of below the surface. It's slightly hidden away. So it's not something that tourists would find at a tourist destination, and you wouldn't be able to get access to it without an introduction, really.
I mean, a lot of places that we went into Kyushu on our tour, and you were like, you wouldn't be able to access if I wasn't here.
Because I spent 20 years getting to know these people, though, and going back, and many times.
You have a background in Jigendu, the local martial arts. It's kind of like Kendo, I guess, how you could explain it.
So, I mean, Jigendu is like 400-year-old school of swordsmanship. It's something the samurai actually practiced. It's been passed down pretty much unchanged for about 420 years in this region, in the same family as well, which is really unusual.
Dojo is really close to here as well.
Yeah.
You use it for parking.
Yes. Yeah, no, I do. Yeah. So that kind of connection, the dedication to that kind of was proof to other people that, you know, we could actually do this for other kind of cultural aspects as well. So it's been very helpful, you know.
I read a thread on Reddit the other day saying, you know, I've been here for 10 years and I have zero Japanese friends. And I was discussing this with Ricky the other day as well, as we sat in one of our Japanese friends' house, as it's like the Nate and the older ladies are all talking about, let's just say, dirty old women stuff.
Right.
And we're just sat there like having a beer together. And I just remember thinking, like, how have you lived here for that long and not made Japanese friends? And I think the advice that I would always give people is, you can't be a bubble in Japan. You have to assimilate. You have to get into their culture, into the things that they want to do. Otherwise, you're not going to make real Japanese friends.
I mean, it's like stepping outside your comfort zone, just going to places you think, maybe should I go in here or not? Yeah. Just give it a try, see what happens. Most people in Japan are pretty accepting.
Yeah, they're hella cool.
I mean, occasionally you'll get people telling you to F off, but it's very unusual.
That's like 1% of 1%, maybe. Yeah. Whenever that happens, it's like a shock to me.
Yeah.
And I've been here, for almost 20 years. So.
Yeah, well, I quite like it now. No, I do, because it's like you go, wait a minute, I'm just going to educate you as to why.
Let me tell you off.
The best thing I have, my favorite thing, is getting told off for parking, because I've got a parking space in town that I use, and there's another one that I can use as well. And I'm allowed to park there legally, you know, one of my rent, whatever. But people tell me off all the time because it looks like you're not supposed to park there. It's like unmarked.
Well, because your building is really, really old. Retro is in the name of your building.
But when somebody comes up to me to tell me off about it, I love it.
Actually.
Like, yes. Now I'm going to explain.
You're also known in the tourism industry as being the, let's just call it, the loose with the lips guy. You can just say whatever you want. Fire.
Justifiably. I'm not just like.
I remember we were drunk in a bar and Daiti Ten came in and you're just like, oh yeah, you're the guy that I slagged off in a Zoom meeting.
Oh yeah.
And he started he started apologizing to you. And then you continued to lecture him after the Zoom meeting in a bar.
Yeah. Well, it was a shit proposal.
Well, so. afterwards I talked to him because he's my friend. I talked to him. I was like, hey dude, I'm sorry, but Alex was like, being rude to you. And he's like, nah, he was right.
But the ad industry people are all like that. So I work with a couple of big ad agencies in Japan, and you're not supposed to be impressed by anything that anybody else does. That's the kind of rule around everybody. So you come up with this amazing project and they look at it and they just go, And then if you say it's a good idea, you've lost. Because so, your idea is not good enough.
So you're naturally inclined to do this because you're British.
So yeah, it fits really well with my personality, i.e. not being impressed by anything. Yeah. But anyway, the Amazon Prime documentary, Samurai of Culture, we made a TV show about it.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes long. So there's a director who made a Japanese TV show called Gaia no Yoake,
yeah.
Dawn of Gaia, which is like a really popular factual TV show in Japan. And he came down and directed it for us and shot it with a cameraman who does a lot of TV work in Japan as well. And that's on YouTube now, so if you want to watch it.
Yeah, we'll put it in the link of this video.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
There's one more I did actually recently.
You did another one.
Yeah, called Dirt by Huckberry. So it's an American company.
Oh, no, I haven't watched this yet. You linked this to me.
It's a really good video.
You produced it?
So no, I was their fixer. So I put together the kind of locations and introduced them to the people that they should speak to and kind of basically went over the route and said, maybe it's better to go around this way.
Yeah.
And gave them ideas. And then they went into the locations and filmed it all. And it was like no hands on when they were filming because, yeah. You know, I would just want them to get on with it their way.
Yeah.
But I was really hesitant at first because, like, Japanese companies and like individuals as well don't necessarily like foreign media coming in because you're not quite sure what you're going to get.
Yeah. It really depends on the. Yeah.
So one of the things said to me, they want to do a gorge jump. Like want to jump off a cliff into the sea.
Okay.
So that kind of was a bit of a red flag at the start, but we discussed why that wouldn't really be possible.
Yeah.
Introduced them to a bunch of people. We were quite careful about it all. And actually, last week, some of the people who were involved with the shoot phoned me up.
Yeah.
And they actually said, thank you so much for introducing them. Like these people are absolutely amazing.
Mm.
Host was incredible. Staff were all incredible. Like this is the best media experience we've ever had, like including Japanese media as well. So like if you watch the video, you'll see why.
Okay.
Because it's just really good.
Also link that in the video description for this video. Dirt.
Yeah, Dirt by Huckberry. Very good.
Hey guys, Future Mitch here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I did watch Dirt, the documentary on Kyushu, and it was fucking amazing. It was really, really good. Check it out after you watch this video. The link will be in the description.
All right, guys, let's get to the news. Otherwise, Ricky's not going to say a single word this entire time he's here.
I'm just fascinated. I'm just wanting to say,
I'm learning so much.
Yeah, and it's nice to catch up with Alex. I haven't seen him in a while.
Also, myself and Ricky are super hungover.
I'm okay. You don't look it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
I was
careful.
I'm
a professional.
You
don't
look
like
Mitch always looks like shit now.
Fuck you.
Close up.
Fuck you.
On the camera like this, you're not going to know.
When you're really far away, I have no idea. You have no idea.
Look at him close up. It's a mess.
There have been... Fuck you. There have been times where I've been on the show with Natsuki. Natsuki's like, are you still drunk? I'm like, probably.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had a week off alcohol this week, and I've had like amazing clarity. It's like, you know, Dune or something with spice. I feel like that. The opposite.
I don't know anything about
the future.
I know nothing about Dune and spice, but I have got off the sauce for a week and the exact same thing happened. Can you sleep?
Well, I can't sleep anyway. But when I wake up, I'm not hungover, so that's good.
Melatonin. It's great. It's my answer to not drinking and sleeping.
Yeah, but I bought like a big bottle of wine for tonight, so.
Well, there goes that.
Habit's gone. It's Friday though, so
let's randomize our stories. Anybody who wants to go, let's go.
I go on? Because it says US is disgusting.
Your one story.
I know, I've got one. The reason for this is because you sent me a line message earlier on with all the stories in and I ignored it. So I don't know what's going on.
That would be a problem, sir. Well, anyway.
All right. It says Jimmy Kimmel says visiting Japan made him realize the US is disgusting. Which
emphasis.
It is.
Well,
in many ways.
It depends on where you are. He's in Los Angeles, which is disgusting.
Is it?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it.
There's two parts of California. There's like downtown Los Angeles and Hollywood Boulevard, which is fucking gross with homeless people everywhere. And I'm not trying to dig on homeless people. Wait, we're supposed to call them not homeless people anymore.
Vagrants.
No, they're called unhoused people.
Is that right?
I think is like the new homeless word.
Unhoused sounds like mentally dysfunctional.
Well, anyway, the homeless problem in America is a dysfunction of the economy and mental health issues. I don't want to get into it, but there are a lot of problems downtown LA.
Mm.
And if you get out to like the OC, like by the ocean with the giant mansions and all that, that's gorgeous. That's beautiful.
Right.
But you have to have that thing called money to be there.
Okay. It's good though.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel probably lives in there, but he works downtown, so.
So, Jimmy Kimmel now thinks the US is gross after he visited bathrooms in Japan. He says we are now like hogs compared to the Japanese, apparently on his TV show, which I've never actually seen. I've seen a clip of it on YouTube.
After just coming back from Europe, I'm going to say that European toilets are the worst in the world.
Oh, they're awful.
They're so bad.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
The German ones are fucking weird. They have like shelves.
You got to pay for them to go in.
Some of them you got to pay for them, and yeah. I was very confused at this. They're like, you have to pay. I did the whole European. I did 10 days in Europe, and I didn't convert any cash.
Right, right.
I did the entire thing cashless.
Oh, nice.
And so when they're like, you have to pay cash to go into the toilet, I was like, I'll just hold it.
Just take a shit on the street.
Jesus Christ.
Nobody minds.
Yeah,
it's Barcelona. But yeah, he said he took his trip on his family on a 7-day trip to Japan.
Yeah.
And obviously was impressed by the the cleanliness of the country. Mm-hmm. So he said the Japanese truck stops are cleaner than Jennifer Garner's teeth, which is...
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
She must have really clean teeth.
Well, all Americans have clean teeth, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I do.
I'm British, so I don't know. I get slagged up all the time.
Oh, my God.
Like a bomb in a graveyard.
I mean, The Simpsons did make fun of that. That's true.
Yeah.
Although it's no longer a thing anymore. I mean, back in the day, I think that was the case because like British didn't have like the need to get the beauty standard to get straight teeth when they're kids.
Yeah.
But it's changed now, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Same with the Japanese.
Well, I think, we're just generally more confident and intelligent, so that helps as well.
Well, we do hire you to narrate our documentaries for a reason.
And act in all your movies as well.
It's true. All the good actors are British. With no, American accents. Yeah. What happened?
So, he was impressed by it, apparently.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what his itinerary was and where he went to, actually. That'd
you said you might know the person
that
set him up.
I think I probably do know who it was.
That's Let's email him. Hey, Jim, you want to come to Kagoshima?
Yeah, what do you think about
Kagoshima? We could get him into some trouble on camera. It'd be fun.
What is it? I get his personality. I kind of can't
work. He cries when there's tragic news stories.
Does he?
Yeah.
What, just at home?
No, in front of the camera.
Just behind the
Jimmy
door.
Jimmy Kimmel is one of actually the most sincere guys on TV. He's not like that Fallon, Jimmy Fallon, or whatever his name is. Oh, God, I hate him so much.
Jimmy Fallon.
I forgot his name. Something Fallon. He's so fucking fake. He does like the...
Oh, he's like the New York one, is he?
Yeah. What's this guy's name? Anyway, continue.
There's loads of them. I can't even remember who the fuck they are anymore.
I can't remember his guy's name. Every time I see him, I want to punch him.
But these are like basically clip shows now anyway, aren't they? They're all on the internet. I don't think anybody actually watches it on TV, right?
Yeah, they're all on TikTok and shit now.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon, yeah, he sucks.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. Stephen Colbert is no longer funny because he's no longer doing his like his right wing, like Republican, I don't know, parody personality. So now he's just a real person. He's not funny anymore.
Right.
Conan O'Brien's no longer on the air and he's awesome.
He was quite funny, I thought.
So Conan O'Brien's gone?
Yeah, he's no longer on TV. He's doing his podcast.
Oh.
But he's going to go back on TV, I think. Or maybe he is now. I don't know. And then Jimmy Fallon, he's dumb, sucks. Jimmy Kimmel is like the only good one.
Who's the English guy?
What's his name? I know who you're talking about. There's two of them. James Corden.
Ugh.
He sucks. And then there's the other, I think he's
John
Scottish.
Oliver.
No, John Oliver is on HBO and he's great.
I don't like him.
His show is good.
I don't know what he's done in comedy in the UK to become famous. I can't
That's why
remember
he went to
anything
US.
He's been in.
If you can't make it in the UK, go to the US, right? Oh, I went to a comedy show in Barcelona. It was awful.
Was it?
It was so
was
bad.
Was it in Spanish?
No, it was in English.
He's like, I don't understand this.
One thing I learned going to Europe is like everyone in foreign countries speaks English except for Japan.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, it's like perfect English. And they knew I wasn't Spanish. They're just like, hello.
Well, obviously.
Shut up. I was like, I'm white, just like you. How do you not know? Or how do you know? I don't know. They all knew.
There's some like Modern Family or one of these shows like that. There was a guy in one of these things who goes to Paris or whatever, and he's walking up to people going bonjour and stuff. They're going, oh, hello. And they go, how do you know I'm not French? And they just go like that and point to his clothes.
Well, I mean, I am wearing a Super Saiyan
and doesn't get like
today.
A makeover and
yeah,
then
yeah.
Everyone's just like, oh, bonjour.
Yeah.
Did they actually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know. Go to a story. Go. Anyway,
okay,
just
well,
go.
Speaking of like cultural exchange, this is about maintaining your culture, keeping your culture. Osaka working to help students maintain their cultural roots. And I didn't quite read this, but it's just about like
I didn't read this story. This story is about in Osaka.
It was just about Filipino students.
No, like, they're offering classes in the native language of the students who are biracial at school.
Yeah, that's great. And then some other Filipino students are helping them, speak Tagalog.
Not just Filipino, but various different languages. But
this one's focusing on
the Filipinos. Yeah,
which is great. Yeah, and then they're also doing this for like Chinese students and all that stuff.
I wanted to ask you with biracial kids, how do you, they both speak English. How did you do that?
I just keep speaking at them. Hope they speak back.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of
my
mouth?
They spent a couple summers with the grandparents, right?
Yeah, they would go over there, but you know, they get a skewed view of what the other culture is doing that, because obviously they're just with the grandparents all the time.
Your wealthy grandparents. They're so like, this is like, England.
They're just like, well, everybody lives like this.
Bringing them to the horse races or
having champagne.
But it's like, you know, you don't have to go to school and like, you know, everybody's just having fun and eating things or whatever. So it's like,
when I brought my little brother Ken out here for a US summer, but the Japanese kids were still in school, he went to a Japanese junior high school for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And like, because he's like the American kid, like all the girls
right
were on him like white on rice,
right?
And he was just like, this is awesome, I love Japan. And I was like, that's basically how we'll be when you grow up too,
right? Yeah.
No, it was, he had fun and he became a horrible, horrible man.
Say that.
I'm kidding. Japanese bullet train halted after a cup of instant noodles thrown at it. Basically one or more objects appearing to be instant noodle cups were confirmed on the train's roof. And then the Sakura 256 Shinkansen, operated by West Japan Railway, just departed Hiroshima Station when it was hit with a cup of noodles, and it was stopped on its
way to Mm-hmm. Who threw that?
From Shinosaka Station to Kagoshima Chuo Station.
That's the, I ride that all the time.
It's a cup of noodles. They could have just like ignored it.
It ruins the appearance of the train.
Ooh, sorry. It ruins the appearance of that. What is it called? Bio mimicry? The engineering that they use on the Shinkansen. They use birds diving into water to inform the nose cone of the Shinkansen.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, because they have these birds that dive into water to get fish, and they don't make any wake doing it. And so they figured out how to make... So when the Shinkansen comes out of tunnels, it used to make these like plosive sounds.
Right.
But now it doesn't do that anymore because of the way that they shape the nose cone.
I'd love to be the guy who kind of brought that up in a meeting.
Like, let's do bird noses. They're like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, you're fired. But Toyota make cars that look like they're smiling, right?
Oh God, I'm gonna do a purpose? Show.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do a show one of these days on Japanese K cars and their names.
Oh yeah,
they're so bad.
Best name I've seen: Bongo Friendly. Love it.
Bongo Friendly.
Bongo Friendy.
D.
Yeah. There's, friend with EE on the end.
There is literally a car called Smile in Japan.
Is there?
And I think it looks like it's smiling.
There's one called Alex, but it's got two L's, which is just a crime.
That's a girl's name, isn't it?
Alex is a both. Name.
No, when I think it has two L's, it's Alexandra.
Nobody has two L's in the word Alex.
I don't know. Whatever.
What?
I don't know. Yeah, they have another one of my favorites is Presidential. That's just the name of the car.
Presidential. Oh, that's not bad though.
Giant car is called Presidential.
Oh, I thought it was a K car. It's called Presidential.
No, that would be very cute. That'd be great. Okay, you do that one. That one's sad.
Well, you know.
Did you read this one?
Speaking of getting scammed by like cars, man in Kumamoto loses 110 million yen over a romance scam. So according to the police, back in early March, a man in his 60s living in Kumamoto Prefecture fell to victim of a romance scam, and as a result lost roughly 110 million yen.
110 million yen, so that's like...
$10.
Yeah, it's like $10 US. 110 million yen is what? 1100 万 yen? Is that what that is?
1億1000万.
No, that can't be Ichioku.
10 million yen. 100.
1 million is 100,000 yen.
Money conversion, number conversion in Japanese,
it's
too.
Awful, like, isn't it?
It's so.
Because in the middle of it goes to Japanese numbers are 444 digits, not 333. So 110, wait.
We should write it out.
1 million yen is.
That is Ichioku.
Yeah, Ichioku 10 months.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's $1 million.
Wow. So he matched with this lady on a dating app, and she told him there was a way she could increase his money. Damn, dude, a red flag right away. And he just transferred his account in 20 times, 20 transactions. His relatives became suspicious after hearing about the incident and reported the issue to police on the 27th last month, and everything came to light. Wow. And this person, he has lost since contact with his love affair.
No way.
Jesus.
So what did he get in exchange for that money is what I want to know.
Probably a lot of sadness.
It's like that time I was promised, you know, a royal position with the Nigerian prince. But
all right,
that didn't work.
Yeah.
So you just need the transfer fee, and he'll transfer the rest back to you.
Yeah, exactly. Still waiting.
You know, they intentionally misspell those emails because the people who catch them are too smart to be scammed. So the people who don't catch the grammar misspellings are the people that they can scam. Isn't that sad?
Is that true?
It's true.
Hmm.
It's really sad.
That's.
Everyone in Japan will be Mr. and Mrs. Sato by 2050-31. We are all going to be Mr. and Mrs. Sato. So basically, the way that the law works in Japan is that when you get married, you have to take on one of the two people's names. Mm-hmm. You can't hyphenate. You can't do any of that. You can't have a double last name. So basically, there is a computer model that a guy used to predict that by the end, in 500 years from now, everybody will have the name Sato. If they don't change the law.
I've only met one Sato ever, and that was in Montreal. Like,
that's so random.
Yeah, that's one of my friends.
I don't know any people named Sato, but there's got to be a part of Japan that's just like everybody's named Sato.
I know some Satos, but Suzuki I know a lot of as well.
Mm-mm. I think that's like number two.
Yeah. I thought like Yamada or like, yeah.
Yamada, yeah, they was put Yamada Taro or something like that.
Yeah, it was like most common
John
name.
John Smith type Smith, name.
Yeah. I don't know, like, no, no, no. It just depends on what region you're on. Like, if you go to the islands, there'll be like two last names on the whole island.
Yeah.
What's the Yakushima one?
Yeah, there's one in Yakushima.
Iwakawa? Is it Iwakawa?
Yeah, one of them is. Yeah.
That's one of the two.
I mean, Kawashima's got weird names. Like Shimodzuru or something like that.
I keep hitting this. That needs to move. Yeah. Hitting your microphone.
As long as you don't hit it with cup noodles.
Yeah.
That's true. That'll end the podcast.
Speaking of hitting it, Pal World, which is like the Pokemon complete fucking carbon copy. It's Pokemon with guns.
What is this?
It's called Pal World. It's a video game. Literally Pokemon with guns.
It's like an open world, and you run around
shooting
and
Pokemon with guns.
You can stab the crap out of the Pokemon and then catch them, or you can just stab them and then eat them.
Is it like Fortnite, but
it's even if Pokemon
worse.
And Fortnite had a baby, it's Pal World.
God, I just want to leave now.
It's going to get a whole lot worse.
Oh,
here we go. Pal World developers make timely announcement of adults-only romance simulator with naked pals.
Okay.
Wait. Read the little description they put in. That one's great.
Oh, this one?
You read this story,
here,
though.
Go.
Oh, this I read.
All right, here you go. The one you read.
I was like, hey, wait, what? Okay. You, the main character, are a new transfer student at the private Palpagos Academy. You will enjoy a full student life through the friendship and romance you experience with the uniquely individual friends, pals, you meet. Whether you stay just friends with your pals, your relationship develops into romance, or you butcher and eat them is up to you. And one of the students' ID number is 69, because of course.
Oh, dude, I found my email from like when I was a high school student, my Hotmail account.
No
and
way.
I forgot it was like my email was name was 69 at the end of
was
it.
Was it like XX?
No, unfortunately.
XX69.
That would have been so much better.
Oh, man. But yeah. This is an April, like April Fool's thing, right?
No, I don't know.
So
is it on April?
When it was an April Fool's announcement.
I'm pretty sure. Is it April Fool's?
Yeah.
It is. It's April 1st.
Oh.
Good luck.
But everyone got excited.
I think they should just go ahead and make it.
April Fool's. Days later.
Develop that. I mean, well, you get some revenue off it. Get some advertisement in there.
Get some, what are those things called?
So, yeah.
Loot boxes.
What?
Loot boxes. Oh, put
loot
some
box.
Loot boxes in it.
Yeah. Lube.
There's
lube boxes.
There's this fucking YouTuber who's showing up in all of my shorts on YouTube. His name is Thor. He's a game programmer. He's got long, gorgeous hair for like and his deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
And like he talks about all these different things. He used to work for Blizzard. He talked about like banning people and all this other stuff. And he's like, the reason why loot boxes and shit like that, microtransactions exist in games, is because in World of Warcraft, they made this mount. It's a fucking horse or something that you ride on. But it was like a microtransaction, so it was like $10, something like that. That mount made more money for Blizzard than StarCraft 2.
Mm.
So they just had to like make one little 3D
pixelated
model.
Pixelated horse. Yeah.
And they made more money than StarCraft 2.
Man. Now they can make a pixelated horse. And then
pixelated hoe. Trick it as many times as you want.
In Second Life, they did have like the adults only zone.
Right.
Where everybody was just like naked and stuff.
Man, I can't stand microtransactions. I think if you bought a game, I don't want to be paying an extra money for
what was the last game you played?
Cloak or something.
When was the last time you played a game?
Last time I played a game was this week, actually. I started playing Baldur's Gate again.
The remake.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 3. It's a lot of time. It's very time consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Cyberpunk I played a bit of because it's been updated.
Don't you roll your penis size in that?
No, you can choose it, but why? You know, you never use it. So I suppose it's like real life.
Ricky, have you played a video game recently?
No, actually. I actually tried to play Tears of the Kingdom once. Like I sat down, I was like, okay, it's been 3 months. I need to sit down and play this. And then, because I don't have internet. I haven't had internet for a couple months now.
What?
It's a long story. Long story. He'll be getting it soon. Right.
Hopefully. Knock on wood.
Japanese internet companies are so slow.
Yeah. So I put in my Switch and everything. I sit down and have some snacks. I like pressed a button to start up Tears of the Kingdom, and it says like update required. And I was like, can I just skip this? It's like,
right.
No. It's like, all right, I guess I won't play today. Forever.
That sucks. Bring it over to my house. We can update it at my house or something. Or at work.
I actually brought it over to work the following day. I updated it, but then
motivation's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Gotta wait.
Last game I played was Tears of the Kingdom. I have Skyward Sword and I've never played it, but I just like, I don't know, I don't have time for video games. Even though I was on
Zelda.
A plane.
Zelda game.
Zelda, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not interested in that.
Update on my laptop. My laptop's currently in Tokyo, so...
Oh, you got it back then?
Not yet. It's still in Tokyo, but it's coming back, hopefully.
See, this is why you shouldn't have a laptop, because you've always been a desktop user, right?
Yeah.
Like, because you just leave it. You know what I mean?
But a 65-mod laptop.
I've got, like, two desktops and a laptop. So I've got a desktop wherever I do work normally, and then if I have to go on a business trip or something somewhere, I have to have a laptop.
Got to be there.
Laptop.
I got three desktops. One in my house, one here, and one at my other... place.
I don't like laptop computers to work on.
I don't, but then I got the Mac, and the Mac's actually really nice.
But can you plug it into a monitor and get
it? Yeah,
big,
just dock it. But I don't, Anyway. All right, guys, we're going to record a little video for our patrons for this month, because we got Alex here. But if you guys want links to any of the articles that we mentioned that Ricky didn't read, they'll be linked in the video description. Also, we'll be linking Dirt and Samurai Culture, your two videos, also in the description. If you guys want to support us on Patreon. There'll be a link of that also in the video description. And until next week, we'll see you guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.